Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and my co-host and buddy.
I'm Graham K. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Autastic, the comedian's guide to autism. We are two young boys who have autism in their family. I got a bro. You have a son. And we just figure it out. And there's the intro. Boom.
Even younger bros. Boys than us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in Australia. I'm in a doing comedy on a cruise ship in the Caribbean Sea. This comedy life, man, it's taking us everywhere. We are Skyping, or we're FaceTiming rather. I want to stay brand loyal.
We're from the
it's
future.
Important to me. Yeah. And we're FaceTiming. I am shirtless. I'm giving you the goods. I'm giving you a full nip show.
This is a sexy podcast, sexier than I'd like it to be, honestly. I'd prefer a little less sexy, if we're honest.
I'm leaning forward now, so
I could do without.
So Kirk can only see my nipples and the birthmark right below my nipples. So I feel
There's not enough talk about inverted nipples. Let's talk about it, Graham.
I got one inverted and one any one outie, and if it gets cold, they're both outies. And now everyone knows too much. But this is the kind of stuff that you know why you should donate to patreon.com/autastic. This is the kind of stuff that Kirk has to go through, you know, and he deserves to get paid for it. He is forced to stare into my nipple. So, you know, just go to Patreon.com, patreon.com/autastic, and you can donate as much or as little as you'd like, and we'd appreciate it. And I maybe might be able to afford a shirt for Kirk,
or at least a man's ear or a bro.
Yeah,
yeah. Cover up those little
or nipple tassels.
Those little nips.
Well, I can't do nipple tassels. I'm too hairy. But you know, one day. Anyway,
it's like looking at a fully grown silverback gorilla over here.
Hey, don't body shame me.
He's a big, sexy man. Big, sexy man, ladies, and he's single and he's on the high seas. He's a sailor.
Yeah, but I'm working out and getting back on it and getting back on the horse.
Nice.
Eating better. Haven't had a beer in 8 days. Hadn't had a drink in 8 days. Things are looking up. Kirk, you how's your week going with your son? How's JJ?
It's good. Going? I'm in Tasmania, which feels like the end of the earth. I am way down south down here, and saw a lot of wallaby roadkill, and I also saw him hopping around and little different kinds of marsupials. I can't remember the other one I saw. And it's been good. Had a little talk with JJ today. He was not super interested in a little chit-chat. He was one of his days where he just wanted to watch his videos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing good. I'm down here at this festival called Laughs of Lonnie. And, we've got some autism groups coming out to the show tomorrow, the big show. So hopefully that'll be fun.
That's great.
And, it's
And describe your show. Describe your show. What's your show about?
I've got a stand-up show. They named it for me, and they called it Kirk Smith Live, which is the best way to enjoy stand-up. And maybe they meant to write Kirk Smith Live, you know, so maybe it's, maybe it's like a play on words. Yeah, it's spelled the same. But, stand-up, and we'll probably do 20
play
minutes
on words
of
that no
autism.
Is it has autism as a theme, doesn't it, Kirk?
This is not. They asked me to do just a regular comedy show, but even in the regular one, I'll be doing probably 20 minutes of autism stuff. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's it.
You have way more stuff about autism in your act than I do. I barely have any. Yeah. I just have a new joke I'm working on about how my gene, my only brother, my only sibling has autism, and my genes go all the way back to the Stone Age. You know, my genetic code, my ancestors fought, you know, woolly mammoths, ice ages, you know, and roaming around the earth, and potato famines and whatever. And the whole family line ends at comedian. The family line ends here because I wanted to be a comedian. So
These jokes have to be told.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know. It's obviously I'm paraphrasing, but that's the crux of it. I got to figure out how to make that better. But yeah, that's, mine are more depressing than yours. Yours are more about real life. But it's a great show if you're in Australia. Check out Kirk Smith. He's super funny. And we're in Australia because it's a big country. It's a continent. Did you know
Tasmania
that?
This week? Yeah. Oh, wow. Tasmania all week at the, I think it's called the Tram Shed. It's this beautiful venue, actually. And in Launceston. And then I'm in Sydney for 10 days, 18 shows next week. Yeah, come see me.
We'll, oh, awesome. Okay, that's great.
Tour of Oz.
Oh, awesome. I mean, how many people live in Tasmania, you think?
1 million.
Wow, that's way more than I thought. Okay.
That's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah.
cool. There's a lot of animals out here. It's very interesting. I did see a little, what's that called? A little whirlwind, and it made me think of the Tasmanian devil, which is obviously, you know, anyway, not like the cartoons, but yeah.
It's so cool you're there. You really are on the edge of Earth. It's amazing.
I saw this prison up by Launceston, and I didn't understand the history exactly, but they brought over, you know, I guess Tasmania was the first point. Launceston for a minute was the third largest city in Australia. That was, you know, before they went to the big island. And
yeah.
The prisoners, sorry, I'm a little jet lagged. The prisoners get assigned to a farm and basically work as slave labor for years and years and years. And I didn't understand how that worked exactly. For some reason I never understood that. And so it's very interesting, the history out here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like indentured servitude. That's crazy. You steal a loaf of bread in England, and all of a sudden you're in Tasmania, sowing some nobleman's field. Crazy.
Yeah, I think it's worse than indentured servitude, right? Because you don't get any cash. Like indentured servitude, don't you make some money at the end or something? I don't know. Basically,
I just said the word. I don't really know what it means. Yeah.
How about you? How's your brother doing, buddy?
He's doing pretty well. Spring, first day of spring is coming, and that's tomorrow. First day of spring. We're recording this on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, tomorrow, first day of spring. So my brother has this thing where he, as soon as it's spring, he puts on his jacket. He'll put away his winter jacket and put on his spring jacket just because the weatherman
makes
said
sense.
That. And it's not very prudent because it's Ottawa, it's Canada. Canada does not care of some arbitrary spring. It is still winter. Anyway, right. My mother knows this and wrote to my brother. She goes, "Hi, sweetie. I know that you listen to Ian Black on CBC, that's the local TV, for the weather. He's going to say that Wednesday is the first day of spring. It is. This is when spring is supposed to start, but it's not spring weather. The weather is still winter weather, and it won't start to be warmer like real spring for a while. So I'm sending you this email because I remember that you used to change your coat when Ian Black said it was the first day of spring. You'd stop wearing your winter coat and start wearing your jacket. Don't do this because you will freeze. Still wear your winter clothes when it feels like winter outside. Other than that, did you have a nice weekend? What did you do? Swimming? A movie? Did any of the relatives invite you for supper? Dad and I celebrated St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. There was an outdoor band concert, also a parade here. Blah, 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 blah." And then my brother wrote, "Thanks for the update. Also, I think I'll still remain in my own great whole winter coat until maybe April. We'll see."
Okay.
"So during the weekend, luckily, I exercised in my own great whole indoor exercise room. Then for this week, even for this morning, luckily, I fully exercised right back down in the great whole indoor," I don't know what ER means, "of where I definitely have lived in all my life. Well, as long as I still weighed myself on my own great whole indoor washroom scale, luckily I still remembered to write more of my great whole different amounts of pounds right down. Also, I don't think that some of our family relatives or any of them plan to invite somebody like myself to dinner. Love, Peter. Ooh, we gotta get on that those family. So for this week,
wait, what happened? Wait, he said whole eight times, but then what was the end? He said he doesn't.
No one from the family invited him for dinner.
Oh, okay, got it.
So he wrote, "Love, Peter." So for this week, that went from yesterday morning to this morning. Luckily, I checked right up on your outdoor condo mailbox that shows the number 6 at all times when I brought your next great whole mail items right inside for yesterday morning. I still checked right around even though I still didn't even see a single very irritating indoor water leaking problem. Well, about what you've both had in your own great whole indoor kitchen. I certainly don't think I even saw your outdoor refrigerator, freezer, or indoor kitchen, pantry, freezer allow something like a very irritating indoor WLP, which I think means water leak problem. Come right along, Peter. So he's very thorough. Guy's thorough. He's on it.
What's the walk me through the whole thing? How does that work?
What do you mean?
Well, when he says whole, he said whole like I'm trying to understand like what that's a that signifies something. That's an abbreviation or
nothing. It means nothing. He's okay. Like we just have to teach him to not say whole. He just I don't know. And he's trying to say like I did the whole thing, I guess.
Oh, with an
the
H.
The whole fridge.
W. H O L E. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sounds like he wants to be invited to dinner more.
Yeah. You know, he's okay, though. My mom just doesn't want to be a hermit. But, you know, families are busy. It's not up to them. You know, if I was home, I would take him out. But he's fine. He seems fine. I haven't talked to him in a while. I should talk to him. I wrote him a reply to that. Told him not to wear his jacket until it was in the pluses in Celsius. But we'll see. I don't know if he understands plus and minus. I think he'll understand just time. She's got to go April. But then what if it's a warm day? It could be like 65 degrees and he's got this like down-filled leather giant poofy jacket on.
Right.
You know. So like sometimes he wears it and it's like cuz March you can get warm, you know, some days right. And then you know one time I saw him and he came inside and he was just drenched in sweat. He had this giant down-filled poofy jacket on. And it was like 60 degrees outside. And it was sunny. He's like, but it's not April yet. And you're like, oh, boy. He's so, I don't know.
Yeah, but I get it. He likes the regulated and the rules, right? So it's clear. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it sure makes life easier, right? Like, this date, do this. This date, do this. That would make life easier. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's what he does with his life. And he makes it easier, and he would rather sweat through a jacket than deal with the everyday monitoring the weather to see what kind of jacket to wear, which, you know, could be easier, I guess. Unzip it, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Should we do in the news?
Let's do in the news, man. We got a couple in the news. This came out. This is Amy Schumer has a new special out and on Netflix, and she's a comedian. You work with her a lot. Do you know her well?
I do not work with her a lot. I have worked with her a handful of times. Before she was famous, we used to do the same comedy clubs in New York. And then something happened, and our careers went two different ways. I am shirtless on the seas, and she is not. So... yeah, but she's nice. She's a nice person, and
comedy's a and weird
is
a, business.
Is
man.
A funny live performer. Well, she's ahead of me. I still got some time.
Yeah, this was in. Anyway, this article is in Women's Health magazine or Women's Health. Amy Schumer opens up about her husband Chris Fisher's autism spectrum disorder. I knew from the beginning my husband's brain was a little different than mine. She says. Amy Schumer definitely hasn't been shy about her pregnancy issues. She's suffering from hypermenesis gravidarum, essentially constant vomiting, worse than morning sickness. And now her new Netflix special, Growing, which is out today, Amy digs into another personal aspect of her life, her marriage to chef Chris Fisher, whom she wed last February in California. Don't worry, she still talks about her pregnancy issues too. In the hour-long stand-up show, Amy talks about Chris's diagnosis with the autism spectrum disorder, a developmental disorder that affects a person's communication and behavior, according to the National Institute of Mental Health. I knew from the
oh my god!
I knew from the beginning. I knew from the beginning my husband's brain was a little different than mine. She says, my husband was diagnosed with what used to be called Asperger's. He has autism spectrum disorder. He's on the spectrum, and there were some signs early on. Back up. What exactly does it mean to be diagnosed in the autism spectrum disorder? This is no longer the quote. This is just the article. Autism is known as a spectrum disorder because there's a lot of variations of the type. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead of all that.
Yeah.
Amy says Chris was officially diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder when he and Amy were dating. Once he was diagnosed, it dawned on me how funny it was because all the characteristics that made it clear that he was on the spectrum were all the reasons I fell madly in love with him. That's the truth. He says whatever is on his mind. He keeps it so real. He doesn't care about social norms or what you expect him to say or do. One example of this. Amy talks about the time she fell in front of Chris and his reaction was unexpected. 9 out of 10 people would go, oh my God, are you okay? Schumer explained when recalling the incident. Maybe more like 10 out of 10. Instead, my husband kind of froze and became a lighthouse, opening and closing his mouth. Amy also says the benefits of Chris's extreme honesty. If I say to him, does this make me look like a bad word? He'll go, yeah, you have a lot of other clothes. Why don't you wear some of those? But it can also make me feel more beautiful than anyone ever has my whole life. And he can't lie. Isn't that the dream, man? That's it. And it's a short article, but I think it's interesting. You know,
it's nice.
It feels like it's much less of a taboo to talk about these things, obviously.
Yeah. It's just more of a... It sounds... The way she views it is not as a disability, but just as a character trait, which I think is wonderful. You know, it's just like... I mean, he is obviously a higher-functioning individual. He's a professional chef. You know, my brother can't figure out how to put on a jacket. But it's different. Right. You know what I mean? And I like that it's not... You know, it's not... He's not being ostracized or... Yeah, like you said, it takes away the taboo of it all.
The part I like about it is I feel like when people say, I think that guy's autistic, no offense. When to me, I feel like, there's no offense. Like if you're like, I think that person's in a wheelchair, no offense. Either they're in a wheelchair or they're not. It doesn't.
Right.
It's not offensive to point out that they're in a wheelchair. They're just in a wheelchair. It's fine.
Well, I agree and I disagree. I think because you're... They're trying to be politically correct and call somebody retarded. And we've talked about that earlier on 100 episodes ago, you know. But, you know, you're trying to insult someone's intelligence or ability to be trustworthy to achieve a task, you know, or be, even be a friend
or
something like that.
Well, that's different, but I think sometimes people are just on the spectrum, yeah. Like when somebody misses a social cue or says something... You know, anyway, I think about a third of comics are on the spectrum. So I think there's a lot of times where it's like, yeah, something's clearly happening.
And maybe that's why she, as a comedian, can relate to him. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll marry someone with autism and I'll be like, finally, I have someone that I can understand. I don't know. But I like that story. I think it's heartwarming. It's a story of love.
Yeah. She found love. It's great. Yeah, I remember years ago, too, working. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I remember her working years ago, you know, in New York when I lived out there maybe 6 years ago, just doing her thing right before she kind of blew up. Yeah.
Yeah. So do we have another article?
Yeah, this one's interesting. This is in Spectrum News, which we tend to cover a lot. They seem to be a consolidator of a lot of different news sources, it seems like. Hearing problems hint at potential for early autism screening. Now, long-time listeners know we had this where my son you know, hypersensitive to some sounds and then would ignore other sounds. And so, yeah, it was very interesting, you know, the fact that loud noises really, or any noises, bugged him. Many individuals with autism have hearing problems. In fact, Leo Kanner included this trial in his original description of autism. In fact, Leo Kanner included this trait in his original description of autism. The type and severity of these problems vary. Some people are hypersensitive to sound, such as a doorbell can ring and create intense fear or panic. Others have difficulty attending to conversations when there's background noise. Studies over the last 50 years point to a neurological basis for some of these challenges. For instance, children with autism have atypical brainstem auditory evoked potentials, or BAEPs. A BAEP is an electrical response to sound that originates in the auditory nerve that connects the inner ear to the brain and ends in the brainstem, the wave station between the brain and the spinal cord. Autistic people tend to have a smaller and lower BAEP than their neurotypical peers do. And a 1992 study showed that there's unusually small brain stems. And a 1996 study of brain tissue from a 21-year-old autistic woman revealed a dearth of neurons in these two areas of brain stem, the pons and the medulla, and other unusual neural features of the medulla. Since these early observations, several teams have reported additional structure and functional differences in the brainstem of people with autism. My lab is building on the important work to understand how the structure and function of the brainstem and auditory system is altered in people with autism. We believe these studies may provide insight into the neurobiology, of autism and may even pave the way to newborn screening and early diagnosis of the conditions. Between 2005 and 2015, my team analyzed postmortem brainstem tissues from 39 people with autism and 77 controls. We found that the autistic people had significantly fewer neurons in their auditory brainstem than the controls did. The finding was surprisingly consistent. Every autism brain that we studied, including brains from children as young as two, had fewer auditory brainstem neurons than the control brains. One of the clusters of brainstem neurons, called the medial superior olive, was dramatically altered in the autism brains. This cluster contained fewer neurons than in controls, and those neurons were often misshapen and haphazardly arranged. Some people with autism also had collections of neurons in their brainstems that appeared to have lost their way during development. We wonder if we had reliably detected these anatomical features through a simple, non-invasive auditory brainstem function. The stapedial reflex is a small change in pressure that results when the stapedius muscle in the inner ear contracts in response to sound. We measured the reflex in 54 people with autism aged 4 to 23 and 29 neurotypical children aged 7 to 17. We found that the children with autism have a lower threshold, meaning they respond to quieter sounds from the stapedial reflex than neurotypical children do. This finding is consistent with reports that some autistic children are hypersensitive to sounds. And we also found that the reflex kicks in later among children with autism than among the controls. I'm going to jump forward a little bit because this is a longer article. We can measure the stapedial reflex in both ears after playing a sound in just one ear. The reflex is usually faster in the ear that receives the sounds. But we found in children with autism, the reflex in the opposite ear is faster. Other research groups, I don't understand why that would be, but other research groups have studied the response of the hair cells in the inner ear for autistic people. They found similar non-invasive tests can reveal significant differences in auditory function in these people. We believe we can use these functions to screen for autism, potentially diagnosing the condition before other traits, such as communication problems. To that end, we are evaluating the sensitivity of such a screen in newborns. We're also using animal models to better understand the biological basis for brainstem abnormalities in autism. Rats exposed to an epilepsy drug, valproic acid in the womb, a model for autism, have fewer inhibitor neurons, which dampen brain signals in the auditory brainstems. Well, very interesting. Graham?
I don't understand a single... I don't understand a single thing you just said.
Well, there's going to be a non-invasive study to be able to detect the response in hearing. And the hearing response is going to be based on the reflex that the little muscle in the inner ear has if it contracts. And kids with autism, it contracts on the opposite side more likely than normally. It contracts in the same ear where you made the sound. And
It's also could be used as a way to detect autism, maybe.
Yeah, this is the title is Hearing Problems Hint at a Potential for Early Autism Screening. So the fact that they have these problems, you could screen for the problem and know. It said it was 100%, so they would know basically, yeah, this is high likelihood that this person has autism. Which, again, is just important as far as trying to get people the health and help that the services they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we did it. Is that another episode?
That's it, guys. We did it. Add us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm at Kirk Smith Comedy for all your comedy needs. Australia for another 3 weeks, and then another tour starts up. Graham, tell us about what's going on.
Wait. Kirk, what's happening after Sydney? So you said 3 weeks.
Another few weeks. I'm here. I think in Sydney 7 more days. Then I'm in Sydney 10 days. Then I'm in LA for 3 weeks. And then I think I've got shows on the high seas like you do, buddy. I think Belize and something else. Yep, just doing the old jokes.
Busy boy. Good for you, man.
Doing my best.
All right, well, I'll let you. Your head is in your hands again. You woke up to do early morning radio.
I'm on 3 hours of sleep, and I'm a little jet lagged, yeah.
All right, well, you know, drink a lot of coffee, and, you know, find some Tasmanian cocaine, and keep it going, pal. No, don't do that. That's a joke. Guys, this has been Autastic, the Comedian's Guide to Autism. Go to patreon.com/autastic to donate. I'm at Insta, Graham K on Instagram. That's InstaGramKay. Insta, Graham K on Instagram. And Mr. Graham K on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. Graham spelled like the cracker, K like the jeweler. I'm not related to the jeweler. And that's it. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Guys, have a great week, guys. You can do it. Take it easy, bud.